Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Corn Nation on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And this, ladies and gentlemen, and Husker fans of all ages, is episode number 11. I am Greg Mahochko, and joining me, as always, my co-host, my friend, and my longtime off-and-on broadcast buddy, Brian Toll. Brian, as we record this, and let the cat out of the bag, what would have been, you know, Friday morning. Typically, we record some point during the week, and we publish Friday morning. But because of schedule conflicts and just overall kind of busy and mentally draining week, we are actually recording this Friday night for a game day publish. So, folks, if you're tuning in, you're doing so. It is game day, and go Big Red. But, Brian, it has been essentially now a week since that god-awful trip to Columbus. Let's talk. I mean, we've had time now on Corn Nation to beat the horse, you know, well beyond death. But let's talk about some of the highlights and or lowlights, if you will, about last week. First of all, good talking with you as always, regardless of the outcome of the previous dog. What the hell is the matter with you? Get out of the way. Regardless of the previous week's outcome, how you been, sir?
I'm good. They got their ass kicked next week.
We don't want to discuss anything. I mean,
they got their ass kicked.
Right. Agreed. A couple big, specifically one big thing happened.
They got their ass kicked.
You can keep saying it, but I'm going to mention this one thing because it's important part of the dialogue and the discussion moving forward. Tommy Armstrong, as we've called him several times, the heart and soul of the Huskers, and he went down with an injury in the second quarter. And obviously, you know, it was very scary. So many people at the time were saying things, you know, like at this point, it doesn't even, it seemed like to me the game was kind of already decided at that point. But, the injury obviously didn't help things. And there were, you know, talk on Twitter, Facebook, among the Corn Nation folks about, you know, the game at this point doesn't even matter. Just, you know, Tommy be okay. I've never seen anybody, get carted off the field, thumb up and all, taken to a nearby hospital, cleared, and coming back and walking back onto the sideline. In all of your years watching sports, have you ever seen anything like that?
I've not. Probably more precautionary than anything. But he did practice Thursday. He went through 7-on-7, a skeleton, and a green jersey. And if it didn't hurt, if no issues were come Friday, and it sounds like there was none, more than likely he's going to play on 6:30 on Saturday night.
Now they did, you know, the concussion protocol. A lot of people jumped, you know, to a conclusion one way or another. Do you think that it was a dirty hit? Or a late hit?
No.
I see. I didn't either. I mean, he was at the sideline. He was mid-stride. And he just got a bad hit. I mean, I called it unfortunate more than anything. I didn't think it was dirty.
95% of the time he leans on his shoulder and just rolls. So, it just happened to be the one time he slammed his head and probably, you know, knocked his, and probably didn't get knocked out for a minute or two, but... You know, probably, I don't know if it's more like a knockout as in like standing attention to what's going on. I think more like, you know, the eggs were scrambled for about a minute or two, then you know, when they realized he didn't really want to move his back, they probably put him on a backboard. And
mm-hmm.
There you go. I mean, yeah, let's face it. They're not gonna endanger him. They've been willing to play Riker before. They're not gonna endanger him. A kid, especially a kid that's meant and done and sacrificed a lot for them,
mm-hmm.
the staff, because he's been through OC kind of OC transition hell, offense transition hell, you know. So I don't have an issue with them not running him out there
with at least 4 games left in his career. What is Tommy's legacy? I mean, if you think about it, as scary as that moment was, and as we all held our collective breaths, that could have been, you know, the last we saw of Tommy Armstrong in a Husker jersey. What's his legacy at Nebraska?
It sounds cold, but it's like Taylor Martinez 2.0.
Which I understand. Incredibly talented.
Put up a lot of numbers. Won a lot of games.
Not the ones that matter. Yeah.
Well, he won some of the ones that matter. I mean, there's you can arguably say Tommy had bigger wins than Taylor in a way. You know, the Michigan State game last year,
mm-hmm.
the bowl game versus Georgia.
Very true.
I think the bowl game versus UCLA, I think is a pretty good win they had, but I think, you know, he's not going to be known as a touchdown machine like Zach Taylor was or Joe Gans was. You know, no one's a thrower. No one's going to know him as a, you know, they'll know him as an offensive guy, but at the same time, he set numbers, but, you know, there was nothing like, it was a consistency thing. 250 here, 280 there, 200 there, 300 total yards here, 260 yards here. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He never really just lit up the building. You know, whenever he lit up the building, it was actually a loss. So I think if you look at it that way, you know, definitely he gained from being around Langsdorf more than, you know, Taylor did with Tim Beck. That being said, also something else you got to remember, you know, Taylor lost half his season at the end of the game.
True.
At the end of he lost his half of his senior season due to a foot problem, due to the ankle that, you know, remember what's the last, you know, the last game ever you saw Taylor Martinez was him losing, what was it, 3 years ago at Minnesota, where he probably shouldn't have played, and it ended up costing him the rest of his career.
Right, so, right.
And whether that's Bo's issue, that whether it was Bo Pelini's choice, whether it was Taylor's choice, if he had sat that one game, he probably plays the rest of the season. So,
Injuries, I mean, and I understand, you know, that we have been, I suppose, blessed be the word, with quarterbacks who want to get out there and compete, even if they're not 100%. Is it a lack, and I don't want to say a lack of faith in the backups, but is a lack of a quality backup? I mean, when Taylor was in there, we had, you know, Tommy, but Ron Kellogg as well. You know, now Tommy's backup is Riker 5. I mean, is it just no faith in the twos, if you will, or you know, I don't know that decision. Like you said, if he's participated Thursday and Friday this week, probably gets the green light to go, you know, in today's game against Minnesota. But if he's not 100%, should he be playing? Or I guess if it's a senior year, has nothing to lose. What's the safest bet here? What's the smartest play?
Yeah, he hasn't been 100% since Oregon, probably.
That's fair.
You know, and granted, it's not a head issue, legs wise, back wise. It really hasn't been 100% the last 2 years. You know, if you really want to think about it.
When was the last time, and this is a serious question, when was the last time Nebraska had a quarterback that made it through a season without an injury? As minor as it might be, I mean, I know, hell, Taylor had turf toe or something, didn't he? I mean, and I understand the rigors of the season. You're going to get beat up, obviously. But when was the last time that at no point, you know, unless the game was out of hand, did we see a backup? You know, when did Nebraska last have a quarterback who stayed healthy?
Tommy's sophomore year, he was fairly healthy, if I remember right.
All right.
I mean, I suppose I can look that up real quick.
No, I mean, it's not, I don't need specifics.
That's the only time I can think, remember.
That's about the closest I can remember. But
freshman year.
Who's? Taylor's?
Yeah, it was Richard. No, Tommy's Richard freshman year. He was hurt enough to where Kellick had to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But that's the nature of the beast. And what you talked about before, the depth thing has to be, you know, there has to be a good depth issue where, you know, Riker can't do what, Riker simply cannot do what
Tommy does.
Tommy does as in running. Okay.
Which, I mean, I think everybody understands that. I don't think anybody's comparing the two. As we move forward, next year, probably a different scenario because you have Tanner Lee, you have Patrick O'Brien, you may even have Tristan Gebbia, depending on if, you know, if he redshirts. Does the quarterback depth picture improve in the coming years?
Yeah. I mean, you have three guys next year, you know.
Do you think Gebbia redshirts?
I think he has to just because of his size. Gebbia is not really a big kid. And he's tall, but he's not very heavy.
But he needs
he's
to
not
add
not very
that.
Heavy. If you've ever seen him,
no.
He's a noodle. He's a noodle.
But if I remember correctly, Darlington was too when he was in high school.
6'3", 180 for Tristan Gebbia.
Yeah.
I would
kill to be 6'3", 185.
I was 180 one time, and then.
I was 182, but I was probably like 5'6", and it was, you know, pudge. So,
yeah. So, you know, it'll wear itself out. And honestly, there's another kid's going to come in the next year after that, and there'll be another guy that needs reps that wants depth reps and such. But, you know. I'd much rather have the problem of having too many guys and somebody stands out.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Guys and wanting something, you know, this is what happened right now. And that's not to diss Tommy, okay? And it's not a diss on Johnny Stanton, although Johnny Stanton needed to leave. He was never going to make it to Lincoln. In the whole grand scheme of things, he's not really making it at UNLV, okay? I mean, he had a good JUCO year. He got on the gig at UNLV. He's not really torn up UNLV this year. He's been injured a lot. He's only played, I think he's only played like 5 of 9 games. I would bet. So, again, probably gonna understand. And again, it comes down to recruiting. It comes down to when Tim Beck and Bo were here that they just, God, they shit the bed at recruiting quarterbacks.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, they shat the bed recruiting, period.
Defensive linemen. Well, they recruited defensive linemen pretty easily, but they just shit the bed when it came to recruiting quarterbacks. You know, let's God. You know, the one guy you never thought would be the most successful has been the most successful of the bunch in
Tommy.
Tommy, yeah. I mean, let's face this.
Is it to his credit? I suppose he's also successful. I mean, he's put up these numbers because of the schemes that they're in. You'll not see. I don't think a POB. or a Gebbia putting up this kind of yardage because they're not going to be mobile quarterbacks. I mean, is that safe to say?
Yeah, no. And I'll only say that because it's safe to say that they're not mobile, so they won't go the all-purpose yards. But as far as throwing it, let's face it, Tommy's not a good thrower.
Agreed.
About the football.
Love him to death.
And he's a tough kid.
Would you say, I mean, I know.
He can make the throws, but he can't read, you know, the pick six. You look the X's and O's. If he waited a second to throw it or even throws it out to the flat, it's not a pick six.
Let me ask you this, and I know he was a recruit that came in, was not a walk-on, but Tommy Armstrong, he five heart?
No, four-star.
But?
Four-star.
But, I mean, he could still be five heart, right?
He's four-star. He's not a five heart.
Riker five, is he five heart?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
It's an insane rating system that we have created, and I see every time you tag me in it on Twitter and you say five heart alert, it's like saying that kids who are three stars, four stars, five stars can't play with the five heart that you know that we've you know kind of mockingly named this podcast as.
Tell me the quarterbacks that were the most successful. I'll name them all right now. Darlington, Stanton.
You mean in high school?
Or coming to Nebraska.
Right.
Nebraska on. Tommy. Okay. Let's go 2011. Who would be seniors last year or redshirt seniors this year? Technically, Jamal Turner. Bubba Starling.
Oh, Bubba, don't get me started on Bubba. We used to talk about Bubba Starling back in the old days of the podcast.
Well, okay, 2010. Let's go some more names. Ready?
I'm ready.
Breon Carnes, who supposedly was a big flip on signing day, which was a big flip, but yet he was still a mid-level three-star. Cody Green, who was the highest ranked player in the 2009 class, higher than Rex Burkhead, higher than Taylor Martinez.
Yeah, but Rex Burkhead's five heart.
No, he's not.
He was four-star out of Plano?
Yeah. Ron Kellogg, Taylor Martinez, and Cody Green were all the same signing class.
Right.
And then we'll go to 2008. We'll go back that far, 2008, because that's when we started kind of.
That's when we started giving a damn.
Cody Spano. Whew. Yeah. And it can't help. And Cody's not really, you can't really do that to Cody because his knees were just garbage. You know. I'm looking. That's it. Now, all of those, name the three successful quarterbacks in that group.
I'm going to name the only three that ever saw any time on the field.
Martinez.
Kellogg and Armstrong.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. And everybody says, well, you don't take four stars. Blah, blah, blah. You take as many high-quality kids as you get because you know two things. One, not all of them are going to pan out. Not all of them are going to pan out. Okay. You ever heard of Chris Septak?
Yes, I have. He was a running back.
Tight end.
I must be thinking of a different Chris Septak. Never mind.
Chris Septak out of Millard West was a five-star tight end taken in the 2000 class.
Millard West.
Millard West. He never played it down.
Did he stay home or did he go somewhere else?
Not 100% sure.
Oh, come on, mister.
Well, this is back in 2000. there's only so many decent stories and such you can get off of that. And that's just the honest truth. Jason Richtenberger.
Chris Sebtak, by the way, went to Nebraska.
I know. He enrolled.
Yeah.
Jason Richtenberger.
But he also had injury problems.
Okay.
He was.
That's my point.
All right. This is what I'm saying. And this is Huskers.com. Redshirt freshman. You know, and then as a redshirt season, of course, was just redshirt season. 2001 is redshirt freshman season, sidelined by a groin injury. 2002 missed the entire season after undergoing surgery on his right shoulder in mid September. Plagued by injuries his first three seasons, battled various injuries. NFL camp listed third at tight end behind Matt Harrion and Phil Peets. So
that's my point.
Nothing beyond that. Poor guy.
How many people farted out that have been high end? You know?
No, I'm not.
Titus Adams.
Yeah.
Charles Jackson walked away earlier this year, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Bubba Starling, technically, if you think about it.
Yeah, we've talked about Bubba. And it makes me sad.
Andrew Rodriguez.
That's not even a name I remember.
Offensive tackle.
Nope.
He was okay. Andrew was okay. He wasn't. Who's better, Andrew or Paul Thurston, because they were next to each other in rankings?
I guess I'll go with Rodriguez since you brought him up first. I don't know.
I thought Thurston was a little better, but that's just me. Andre Jones, there's a name. Oh, buddy.
Well, I mean, we're getting off the point.
No, we're not getting off the point.
We are.
Yeah. No, we're not.
And we're
it's quarterbacking. It's like every other position. Okay. You take as many quality kids as you can, but you don't take any projects because the problem is you're going to be worried about developing kids, you know, kids, enough kids that were projects that take extra time are usually not going to work. Okay. Yes. You're going to have the 5-heart, 2-star special out of Harding and Seether Catholic that makes the team every once in a while and does well. But guess what? That should be the exception, not the norm. In Nebraska, sometimes it's the norm, and it bugs the hell out of you because, you know, you can't. It sounds good and everything in a good little September Labor Day story about these kids making it. When it comes to November, when you play a team that has had three top five classes the last 4 years, and you know what's coming, and they just kick your ass when it comes, as in what happened Saturday night. You need a couple extra guys.
I'm going to ask you this. As you said, you know, a few times at the outset of the program, there was a booty kick in last week. Nobody saw, you know, that being the case going into the game. And I don't think we really touched on this last week, but going into the game, in hindsight being 2020, what was your worst case scenario?
Pretty much that.
Okay.
Get your, lack of a better term, shit stomped, and you know, I don't know. I mean, it comes to a point to a game, you're like, you know what, just burn the tape. And I got to the point when Riker came in and couldn't get anything done on that fourth down. It's like, you know what, sim to end.
I use that quite a bit in my. Actually, what I would do before NCAA football on EA Sports, before that obviously went away, what I would do is I'd be like, oh no, there's an accident with my Xbox. Turned it off. I went undefeated a lot because I cheated. I'm not ashamed to admit that, because...
So here's the deal this week.
yes, let's turn... We've talked quite a bit about quarterback depth and depth at other positions. Let's turn the table from the butt-kicking to what we hope is a much better... outing with some home cooking back at Memorial Stadium.
Well, they've won four in a row.
They beating Minnesota.
They beating Minnesota. mini soda, not a big soda, mini soda anyway. They haven't looked pretty doing it. Okay. One of those wins was a marathon score fest versus fucking Rutgers.
Yeah.
Okay. Which honestly looked like which Minnesota had to get lucky to win. Okay.
So what you're saying is some of their wins in this four game win streak look eerily similar to some of Nebraska's wins before they went to Madison.
Possible. I mean, yeah. I mean, Maryland. It looked really good against the Maryland team that is probably better than you think that Nebraska to deal with next week. And then they womped it against Rutgers. And then they pretty much ran train at Illinois. Okay. And they looked pretty good. I thought they looked pretty good against Purdue. So. Yeah. Am I weird to think on offense for Minnesota, it's kind of like Iowa? In that they don't want to do anything special. They just want to beat you to death and then lull you to sleep and then throw the ball over you.
Mm-hmm.
Weird to think. I don't think it's weird to think. You know, me personally. This is where you answer.
Yeah. I look forward to the game. You know, fun, even in the loss, as the Wisconsin game was, because it's like, you know what, we played a good team and we hung in there with them. You know, but that moral victory kind of cliche. As good as that outing was, and as positive as we felt after last week, everybody, you know, felt just completely deflated. And part of that largely was, you know, Tommy's injury, but. Then they went ahead and scored another 40 points, give or take, after Tommy's injury. So nothing of that helped. This has to be a game, and I think, you know, we talked about on coordination in the predictions about, you know, how the black shirts are going to be coming into this game angry. And I thought the black shirts were supposed to be coming into this, you know, last week's game at Ohio State angry after, you know, the missed opportunities in Madison. I don't care if you're angry or if you got sunshine, you know, flying out your butt. You gotta play better. At the end of the day, that offensive line, and we know there's a talent discrepancy between us and Ohio State. Like you said, you know, three of the last 4 years they've been in the top five in recruiting. So nobody's discounting the fact that we got our asses handed to us. But what's important to take away from that is you got to know where you need help the most and address those problems in practice. Obviously, address it in recruiting, but you got to shore up some things. We've talked a lot about Tommy, but tell me about some of the other players who have been injured or were recently injured. Who are we expecting out, or who are we expecting back?
It just sounds like Brandon Riley won't be there. Hamstring issue again.
Which has plagued him for, you know.
2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say a better part of a year and a half. So,
Gerald Foster will play. Which is kind of interesting. That helps, but I don't know how many. That's going to be a conditioning question, how many is going to play?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see more than 30 at the most. So
how
defensively wise, it sounds fine. That's the one thing that was frustrating about the other night. You know, offensively, you can say, well, we're injured here. The line is decimated. Wide receivers are kind of a little iffy and such like that. But as far as the defense, there was no real big injury. Dedrick Young got hurt, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. So
let's talk real quick. And you know, folks, as we talk about this, some of this stuff has been talked about from, you know, some of the other, you know, coordination staff, So I always encourage you to go out, make sure you follow Coronation on Facebook and Twitter. Go to the website, coronation.com. But if you had the opportunity, Brian, to put yourself in Danny Langsdorf's shoes, and you work at a bowling alley, so you can bring your disinfecting spray, whatever makes you feel comfortable. But do you design a game plan that, regardless of Tommy or Riker, you kind of protect them a little bit more? Are you leaning a little bit more run heavy this week to make sure that your quarterback kind of stays upright a little bit more?
As far as the line, you could say, yeah, we're going to run the ball. But one, you're hurt, and if you can't run the ball very well, so be it. But number two, the best thing you've done is pass block. So, and you're going against a secondary back seven of Minnesota that's not really good. They're hurting. They lost their middle linebacker for the year this week, and that guy's replacement is out the first half because of a targeting violation.
Hmm.
So,
did they have another targeting last week that I was unaware of?
Possibly. I haven't read nothing really big on it, but I know there's at least one targeting guy. They have been hit more than anybody in America when it comes to targeting.
I just remember, like, even going back to week one, and they had two targeting calls against them against Oregon State. So, it's and again, part of that is, and I'm not trying to get off topic, but part of that is the just various ways that you can differentiate that rule. So, continue.
So I think what happens is, you got to throw it a little bit. But you got to be smart about it. And Riker, if there's and I say this, I don't want to sugarcoat it. Sometimes Riker makes worse decisions than Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, we're not out here trying to disparage any of these kids. I mean, we hope that you, the listener, understand that. We're just trying to, call it like we see it.
I suppose you give them easy throws, but at the same time, they know that if they jump routes and such, it's going to be really kind of easy to pick off Riker. So, I guess you try to run it and see what happens. Hopefully, Gerald being back and Tanner's going to be, sounds like he's back. So, Cole Conrad's going to start for David Neville, which is probably an upgrade. David's not looked great the last few weeks, injury or not. So I think we'll see what kind of we can do for running. I think Nebraska's lack of a true fullback. McNitt's a fullback. He's not as good as Jano. He's not as good as the guy they're going to get in Ben Miles. So,
but can we talk real quick about McNitt's muff punt recovery last week? Because in a sea of shit – That was luck, anyway. I don't care about
it. It was luck.
But it was luck. It was luck. It was a life raft.
Luck. It was a life raft that had been punctured open with a steak knife from Outback and was falling to the ground. It was luck.
All right, Brian doesn't want to talk about Ohio State game anymore.
It's not even that. He hustled. Well, so what? Somebody else could have hustled, too. And we didn't put the ball in the end zone, so really, in the whole grand scheme of things, it didn't fucking matter. You can't do anything with a damn turnover. If you can't do anything with a turnover, I'm a dick, but guess what? They couldn't do anything with turnovers. They couldn't do anything with field position. The second half was a fucking joke when it came to moving the ball. Drives the second half, 4-3s out, 3 and outs. The fifth one was 10-play thing they got absolutely nothing out of. So, the point remains, they played like shit, for lack of a better term. Against the twos, against the ones, against the six-string Olentangy superstars that play, intramurals, nothing happened. So, you burn the damn tape. You don't worry about who did what. I mean, yeah, you pat him on the back, give him a cookie, and then you move on to the game that you need to win to stay in the 10 race, get the 10 wins, stay ranked, and that's Minnesota, a team that's playing a little bit better than you right now, has the same record, and has a bunch of confidence coming into the game.
Can we talk briefly about the
What?
I was going to say, can we talk briefly about the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy?
It's a real trophy that we created, and I don't give a damn what the Big Ten says about it.
I agree. It was just in one of these links that that I Google at work when it's slow, and it's been slow. But I think I can't remember exactly where it was, but they were talking about how University of Michigan does not, or not Michigan, Minnesota does not recognize it as a trophy, and yet they used it in a you know, Minnesota Golden Gophers promo. one of those things.
Is what it is.
Is it not your favorite trophy? It's my favorite trophy.
I don't care about it. I don't care about the Freedom Trophy. I don't care about the Hy-Vee $5 coupon special we play against Iowa. I don't care about. I care, but it's nice to have. But I'd rather win a football game. I'd simply just rather win a football game. If that's as nihilist, simplistic, and asinine as it sounds. I the only trophy I care about is the big one with a BIG football on top of it that they give away in Indianapolis after you win the game in December, the first week of December. That's what I care about. That's what I care about. Well, you get all the other trophies and that you get that one too. Cool, cool, cool. But that's the one you care about.
What? And briefly, while we're talking, since you know I mentioned trophies, you mentioned the Big Ten trophy. Is it unfair to say, and this is kind of going back to Tommy and his legacy, and not just his, but you know, any Husker quarterback or player's legacy since 2001. Is it unfair to say that they are measured on conference championships?
I mean, 1999 to get it right, actually.
Thank you.
Was the last time they won a? Yeah,
I knew 2000. I said that in my mind. I'm like, that's not right. So
it's not unfair.
Do you think?
But guess what?
That's not the only measuring stick. It's just the one that Husker fans look at the most. Correct?
It's not.
I don't think it's the.
How is it not the only measuring stick?
I don't think you can. As a team, yes. As an individual player, I don't think that you can be like, well, Rex Burkhead didn't win a Big Ten championship. He's crap. Levante David didn't win a Big Ten or Big 12 championship. He's crap. And Ndamukong Suh didn't win a conference championship. He's crap. As a team, yes. As an individual, I don't think that you can measure how good they are based on a team trophy. Is that fair?
Okay. Kind of, but I'll say this. Nobody's saying Levante David was crap or Burkhead was crap or anything.
Agreed.
You remember Sue because he was on the podium for the Heisman, right?
Well, I remember him for...
You remember Crouch's 2001 season, not because they shit the bed with Colorado in the same four plays on Craig Bull's shitty-ass defense, but you remember him winning the Heisman, right?
Agreed.
So, therefore, nobody remembers what... Everybody says, oh, Levante David was a great linebacker. Name the stuff he did. Well, he was just a great linebacker. No one's going to remember that. Everybody's going to remember what Sue did. He won an Outland. He almost won a Heisman. He won, if I remember right, the Bednarik. He was one of the – he was a first-team All-American, okay? No, and no one's cracking Burkhead because he wasn't a good player. But guess what? Eventually, at the end of the day, at the University of Nebraska, in Lincoln, Nebraska, you're measured by how many conference championships you won. Nebraska hasn't won one since 1999. It is 2016. They went one – they averaged one every 3 years for the better part of 3.5 decades, okay? Don't – eventually, you get measured by what you do as a team, okay? Nobody – if you say Rex Burkhead, no one says, oh, he was real close until 1 second left. And all you remember is the 1 second left.
Okay, I see what
you're saying. That's all they measure. Nobody says Taylor Martinez was great. Did he win a conference title? Well, he kind of choked against Oklahoma and let that league go. And, you know. See my point?
No, I understand completely what you're saying. I just.
So, no, nobody's discounting the individual part, but. You win a conference title, and like I said with Tommy, if he wins a conference title, he's better than Taylor. He's better than Taylor. He's better than Zach Taylor. He's better than Joe Gans.
If
he's better than
But wouldn't the metrics that we have in place based on, let's just say based on cumulative yards, wouldn't that already put Tommy better than?
Who gives a rat's ass about cumulative yards?
Well, that's the question I'm asking. I mean, what metrics are we using?
Conference titles.
Okay. In that case, we haven't had a good quarterback since 1999.
No, you haven't.
Except for the one that won the Heisman.
Stop being stupid here for a second. Do you measure Scott Frost on yards, or do you measure the fact that he has a national fucking championship ring?
I'm not asking you.
I'm asking you to answer the damn question.
I was hoping you were going to offer more examples.
Do you measure Scott Frost on what he did in 2 years when it came to yards, touchdowns, completions, or do you measure that he won a fucking national championship in 1997?
That is a fair counterpoint. I like how you answered my question with a question.
It's a yes or no answer. Answer it.
It's not the yes or no answer.
Yes, it is. Do you remember all the yards or the touchdowns? Do you remember that he kept the season alive with the kick six and winning in overtime against Missouri and beating Tennessee? Which one do you remember?
No, I know what you're saying. I know the point you're making.
Answer the question.
I would say by that particular example, the metric would be the national championship.
Bingo. Do you remember who's better, Steve Taylor or Tommy Frazier? Steve Taylor put up numbers that Tommy Frazier couldn't touch. Steve Taylor couldn't win a national championship. Tommy Frazier won two national championships, one being the one folk hero of Nebraska lore by leading – Nebraska to the 94 title after being out for God knows how long with who knows how big Bud Klotz. Okay? Book Behringer better than Steve Taylor? No, but you remember him because he did whatever needed to do in 94 and 95 to get to the title. Hell, you can make an argument that Matt Turman, of little old Matt Turman from Wahoo frickin' Nebraska, was a better quarterback than Zach Taylor, Joe Gans, not because of the numbers, but because he kept the ship right and won games against teams that he had to beat, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Okay? There's a measurement of what you do at Nebraska. It's conference titles. The numbers are great. You don't sit there and you don't remember Taylor Martinez because he put up 12,000 yards, whatever. Okay? What did he do in the big games? What did he do in the big games?
He shit the bed.
Fucking two. In conference championship games. That's what you measure. And that's cold? That sounds cold as shit. I get that. But guess what? You're measured by what your legacy leaves. If your legacy is you've won the first conference championship for Nebraska in 20 years, that's what you're going to remember it as. What do you remember about 2009 Nebraska, 2010 Nebraska, or sorry, 2012 Nebraska.
First year in the Big Ten.
Do you remember that they were 9-2 going, 10-2 going into the Big Ten championship game?
That was, if I remember correctly, that was the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
What do you remember about that team?
I remember they just got plastered.
That they got their absolute inhumane shit stomped.
Yeah, I didn't. I was going to follow up and say not plastered as in plastered drunk. Although they sure as hell caused the fan base to get plastered drunk that night.
They were 7-5. Wisconsin was 7-5 in that game. Nobody remembers that. All I remember is that they hung 21 a quarter for the first three quarters on Nebraska's happy ass when it was 63-17 after 45 minutes. They remember 56 yards by Melvin Gordon within the first 2 minutes. They remember a pick six. Yeah, they do kind of remember Taylor Martinez's little crappy – well, not crappy run, but – crappy offensive line job that gave him the big old long touchdown run. You remember that?
I remember that, and I remember Kenny Bell's block that got called back on the touchdown.
That's all you remember. You don't remember the 539 yards Wisconsin put up that day.
I remember it being a very long night. Thank you for bringing that back to me. Now here we are. It's late, and I'm going to have to open up a beer because I'm having flashbacks. Thanks a lot, Brian.
puts hair on your ass. What did Rex Burkhead do in the game?
I don't remember.
Nobody gives a rat's ass because guess what? Nebraska lost. Taylor Martinez actually had a great game. He went 19 carries for 176 yards and threw for 184 yards. He was responsible for 350. Guess what? Nobody gives a shit. You know why? Because Melvin Gordon and Monty Ball went for 200 each. Melvin Gordon owes his fucking career to Bo Pelini.
Yeah, I believe that. Between that game and the game in Madison 2 years ago in the snow.
Do you remember how much their starting quarterback passed for that day?
I don't even remember who their starting quarterback was.
Kurt Phillips.
Yeah.
He probably was 6 of 8 for 71 yards.
We had a really locked down defensive secondary that game, I remember. No.
Yeah.
No. They didn't need to. All right, Brian. I promise I did not mean to get you so riled up with my line of questions.
Here, we'll end it this way. If Tommy plays tomorrow, today, whatever. If Tommy plays and he's better than he was last 2-3 weeks, which is not great because he hasn't been great, but if he's
better. That's also setting the bar pretty low.
Well, yeah. If normal Tommy shows up and can give Nebraska a chance to win, Nebraska will win this game double digits. If Riker plays, I am scared shitless to see what the offense does. But I also think Nebraska is pissed off on defense. Not so much like pissed off last week because they didn't get respect. More pissed off they got embarrassed. Okay? They got embarrassed last week on defense. The secondary especially. And I think the defensive line is embarrassed because the secondary played pretty well. And the defensive line couldn't get home at all on certain plays. Ohio State was what? There was a point where Ohio State was like 8 and 9 on third down in the first half.
I don't remember them having to punt.
No, they didn't punt the whole game.
That's what I'm saying. So I'd really like a punt. I would really like tackling to improve because that was non-existent. I think I said something to this effect, you know, on Twitter last week. Is it, at some point, just stop trying to wrap up the guy with your arms and just run through him. If you knock him off of his feet, he can't run forward anymore. And I didn't see that. Anyway, I it's late. I have to produce this and get it ready for publishing. Brian, I apologize. I didn't mean to get you so fired up.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you for listening to me ramble, people.
That's Brian Toll. I'm Greg Mahochko. This is the Five Heart Podcast. And hey, we've got kickoff tonight. Make sure that you are participating in the game threads at coronation.com. Enjoy what we all hope to be a big red victory. And as I say every week, always remember that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.